Dear Christian friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Palm Sunday, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. There are two completely different ways that you can look at what is happening on Palm Sunday. Imagine that you are Pontius Pilate. He would have considered this the worst of times. He was ordered to keep peace and order in Jerusalem. Now, we assume from records that he had maybe about 3,000 soldiers at his disposal. And most of those would not have been Navy SEALs, not the veteran soldiers. They were the local militia, not the well-trained ones. And Jerusalem at that time had 80 to 100,000 people who lived there regularly. But in the season of Passover, every Jew from Israel was required to come to the temple to offer a sacrifice. That meant between 1 and 2 million people were coming into Jerusalem. And so here is Pontius Pilate with 3,000 men, and he's got 1 to 2 million Jews coming into Jerusalem for the Passover. If ever there was a red alert week for Pontius Pilate, this is the week for him. Now, the Palm Sunday procession, most of us think, because we have that picture we've been doing at Living Pictures for so many years that kind of shows him coming through the gate, we assume that the procession started there, but it didn't. The procession, our lesson today, tells us it started in Mount of Olives, and that picture is taken from the Temple Mount, and from Jerusalem, you can look up and you can see the Mount of Olives up there. In fact, there's a Lutheran church at the top of the Mount of Olives, the Lutheran Church of the Ascension. And so Jesus would have gathered with not only his 12 disciples, but the 70 disciples that he sent out. There wouldn't have only been them, but right next to, in our lesson today, said that the village of Bethany is right on the slopes of the Mount of Olives. And it was just the previous week Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. So the town of Bethany is all gathered, because one of the things in our gospel lesson that we read outside was they had all seen the power that Jesus had displayed. So he just displayed raising Lazarus. He was right there in Bethany. All those people, all of his disciples, his 12 disciples. And this is a time when the people are coming in anyway. They're coming down that road into Jerusalem. So if you can imagine, you're standing, you're Pontius Pilate, your fortress is up there right on the side of where the Temple Mount is, and you can watch, and it's about a mile or two to wind down. So Jesus doesn't just show up at the gate, but here's this long procession. Hundreds upon hundreds of people following him, and as he takes this donkey down that Rhine, all the way down into the valley, up into the gate. They've got several hours of watching this huge procession as Jesus comes in to Jerusalem. And if that's not bad enough, this is, as we said, the Passover week. And what's the whole theme of Passover? Liberation from your oppressors, liberation from Pharaoh who made them slavery. So what are they celebrating? That a leader, Moses, came and led their people out from under the oppression of Pharaoh. That's what's on their mind. So if you're Pilate, you now have got 1 to 2 million Jews. You've got this guy coming down the mountain, all kinds of people following him. Is he the new Moses? And they're all thinking about, let's cast off those who are oppressing us. Now, you add on top of this, as they were coming down, he is saying, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey. Now, this is from the prophet Zechariah. But if you see, it also says he will cut off the chariot from Israel and the war horse from Jerusalem. His dominion shall be from sea to sea. So often we just think of Jesus coming in as on the donkey as this, oh, see how humble he is. But if you look at the text from Zechariah the prophet, as they look for their king who's coming, the king is coming on a donkey. And what is he going to do? He's going to cast out the chariot from Israel. He's going to cast out the war horse from Jerusalem. His dominion is going to be from sea to sea. Now all of a sudden Pilate's looking at this and he's going, okay, donkey isn't just humility. Donkey is about the king who is coming. That's why he asked Jesus, are you the king? Because that was what the prophecy said about the king who was coming. And then if that's not enough, on top of it, as he's coming, in the Gospel of Mark, not so much Luke's, but Mark tells us as the people were saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they were also saying, blessed is he who brings in the kingdom of our father David. And what was David's kingdom? It was the kingdom of the greatest power and independence of Israel. So here you are, Pilate, and you've got 1 million to 2 million Jews. They're all thinking about liberation. You've got this man riding a donkey who's fulfilling a prophecy about the coming king. You have the people cheering, blessed is the one who's going to bring back the kingdom of David. Well, for Pilate, this is the worst of times. You know, we sometimes think Pilate maybe didn't feel that Jesus was a threat, but believe me, Pilate saw Jesus as a political threat when you look at all the trappings around his coming into Jerusalem when he did. Now, as Jesus came in, it was the worst of times for him. You know, Jesus was a human being just like you and me. And when he came into Jerusalem, he knew he wasn't coming to make the people riot. He wasn't there to incite a revolt. He knew he was coming there to give his life. He knew that these cheers of Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, those cheers would turn into cries of crucify him. Imagine riding into town knowing that. Riding into town saying, I am here to give my life as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Pilate may have saw him as a political threat, but Jesus knew that's not why he came. It was the worst of times for Jesus because he had to face incredible suffering. And again, we see the divine Jesus and we forget this is the human Jesus. When he came into town to give his life, he was going to feel the pain. You know, when he was whipped by the Romans, he felt that lash just as you and I would have. And when they put that crown of thorns on his head, those thorns pierced right through his head, and it would have been terribly painful. And then on the cross, nails through the hands and through the feet. I can't even imagine how painful that would have been, and to hang on the cross. So when Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, it may seem like the best of times, but he knows better. He knows he's got to muster as a human being along with his divine nature. As a human being, he has got to muster all of his willpower to go to the cross, to endure the suffering that awaited him there. And so that's what he did. He was willing to come into Jerusalem, not to become the king who would overthrow Pilate, but to become the king who would give his life for his people. But for us, it is the best of times. Because as we see Jesus coming in, we know he's going to offer his life as a sacrifice for our sins. Yes, he's going to establish his kingdom, but his kingdom is the kingdom of forgiveness and grace. And the days between when he rides into Jerusalem and when he's crucified on that cross, he also teaches us what is his kingdom like here on earth? And what are we to be about as we live as his people here on earth? And so as he gathers his disciples together, he tells them, you know, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And so he teaches them the kingdom of God is a kingdom of sacrifice. And he leads the example, giving his life for us. But as his people in the world, as we seek God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, we are called then not to die on a cross, but to sacrifice, to care not just for ourselves, but for others. And then Jesus takes a towel and he wraps it around himself and he kneels and he washes his disciples' feet. And he says, if I, your master and Lord, wash your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. And there Jesus is really just emphasizing those teachings he's had previously about the greatest among you must be a servant. So when we talk about God's kingdom, it's not just a kingdom of victory, it's a kingdom of sacrifice. It's a kingdom of service. And of course, the core of God's kingdom is forgiveness. That's why he came in, to offer us forgiveness of sins. And clearly, there's no greater example of forgiveness than Jesus. It always amazes me every Good Friday when we read those last words of Jesus. And the Roman soldiers have pounded the nails into his hands and into his feet, and Jesus cries out, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And I think how hard it is to forgive people who have betrayed us or hurt us, and you say, Jesus forgiving even the ones causing him that level of pain. And he not only forgave the Roman soldiers, but later when that thief on the cross next to him, that thief who said, I deserve to be crucified, turned to him and said, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus told him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Your sins are forgiven, in essence. That's what Jesus was saying. And so forgiveness is at the core of God's kingdom. It's why Jesus entered into Jerusalem, to offer his life so that we might have forgiveness and life and the promise of salvation. And so for us, it is the best of times because we know all that Jesus is going to do for us in the week that is coming ahead. The only question that really remains then is, what kind of time is it for the world? As we have been assured of salvation, now are we going to share that with those who don't know about Jesus? And that then becomes the last part of the puzzle. We are called to make the times for this world the best of times. Because without Christ, it's the worst of times. Without Christ, there is no hope. Without Christ, there is no promise of forgiveness. Without Christ, there is no knowledge of a God who loves you, literally loves you to death. But with Christ, there is love, there is hope, there is forgiveness, there is grace. And it's the job of you and I, the job of the church, to share that message with our world today, so that the whole world, hopefully, it can be the best of times as they come to see Christ for who he is and accept the forgiveness and life that he offers. So may this be the best of times, not only for us, but for the world as we share the message of Jesus with all those who will listen. And then with the crowds of Palm Sunday, may we boldly proclaim, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Will you stand and pray with me? Dear Lord God, we continue to experience in this world the good and the bad, the suffering, the death. But you have given us the news that it is the best of times in you, that death cannot defeat you, that nothing can separate us from your love. Lord, bring your love, your forgiveness into our hearts. Let us celebrate who we are because of you. And then let us share that message with the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.